Hi, Diva.
Hi, Doctor.
Bottoms up.
Drinking my second electrolyte mix of the day.
Is it the famous one?
I'm drinking nectar. I don't drink anything else but nectar.
Nectar?
Nectar is sweetened with stevia.
Oh.
So there's no sugar. And it's
what was the one that you sent me? It's not Gatorade, but it feels like in the Gatorade family.
I know. IV, liquid IV. You're talking about liquid IV.
Yes. Liquid IV. Yes.
I don't mess with that actually anymore.
Well, you sent it to me in the mail as part of a care package. You sent me an electrolyte mix that I guess you don't mess with anymore. What does that say? You were just cleaning out your pantry and you're like, well, I don't want it.
No, I actually went all the way and bought it for you. I was like, he can have sugar. I can't. That's probably what it is, which is kind
of
sad.
Speaking of sugar, I am drinking Alani Nu out of the glass. Because I saw a TikTok of a girl discovering an entire rat inside of a can of Alani Nu. So I had to pour it out into a glass to make sure there wasn't a whole rat in my can.
Wait, how big are the cans?
Normal can size. But they are kind of like the skinny ones. You know what I mean? But they're like normal
cans. And a rat got in there? I guess, no, because rats and mice can get really small.
Well, but it was taking up like the entire can. Like whenever the girl, but also nothing on the internet's real. I'm like one of those Facebook moms who's just like believing everything I see on TikTok.
Yeah.
But
it's also funny that you're not drinking out of like a cup. You're drinking out of something that you would drink beer out of.
I know. Well, I also wanted it to be clear, like in case there were like particles of rats. I wanted to be able to like hold it up. You know what I mean?
That color doesn't look like a natural drink. It looks like pee-pee.
They never advertise it as natural. In fact, I think this is witch's brew. Flavor. Like, I don't think there's no part of it. They've never once claimed to be like, this is natural, this is organic. It's not fair trade. It's actually an unfair trade. I think I like this little life.
Okay, before our guest comes in, what's something amazing you did today?
Oh my
and
God.
And why?
Well, it's raining right now, so I haven't done much. My dog's been annoying me, so I put him in the basement.
You have such a creepy view behind you, like of a lake.
Yes. Well, everyone should know, like whenever I say like, I'm at a lake house, everyone's like, oh my God, that's so cozy. And there's like an active coal mine, like with industrial towers shooting like smokestacks. And like, I cannot express to you how bad, because the water that we get here at the house comes from the nastiest water I've ever drank in my life. Mm-hmm. Also, there was a tornado here the other night that I survived. And I was so annoyed that my dog woke me up. And then I was like, oh, it's because there's actually an F2 tornado. and I was just like, I want to go to bed. And he's like, you have to wake up right now.
Well, and the house is fine, right?
The house is fine. Two houses down, like a tree got entirely uprooted and it got thrown on top of. And then the only grocery store near here is the Dollar General. And the building right next to the Dollar General was completely destroyed. So, like, there was a lot of damage, but, like, I was all good. And then it was, like, that thing of, like, well, I guess I have to get to an interior bathroom. And then I got to the interior bathroom, and I was, like, oh, there's, like, actually, like, I could hear there was, like, a real tornado. So, I was, like, I guess I should put shoes on and get my dog's collar. And so, like, I had to, like, run out of the bathroom, but then the power went out. And so, I was, like, kind of scrambling. Oh, and I was also in my underwear because I was asleep. And I was, like, well, I can't be in my underwear, like, with just tennis shoes. That would be crazy. And so, I had to, like, fully get dressed. And then I was, like, well, what outfit do I want to be wearing whenever they pull me from the rubble? And so, I had, like, my phone flashlight, and I was, like, picking out an outfit that would be acceptable. Meanwhile, like, I hear things hitting the side of the house.
And then what did you wear?
Love lost in what I wore. What did I wear? I think I just wore some Fabletics, 5-inch inseam shorts. And I think I wore my Mitski, tour shirt.
That's beautiful.
What have you done today?
I took a Megaformer class. Do you know what that is?
No.
Is that Pilates? It's the scariest class I've ever taken. I got a class pass recently, so I have a trial, and it's like Pilates, but like jacked up.
Where was this?
It's this place in Pasadena called Club Legree. It was very girly pop. Like, it was like purple lighting only and like a remix of PIMP of 50 Cent. It was pretty intense.
Did you like it?
I did.
Ever since I found out Pilates was named after its inventor, Joseph Pilates, I haven't been able to take it seriously.
I know. It's like Mormonism. You're like, huh.
Should we?
Yes, we should.
Oh my God. What is there to say, first off?
Bombastic, eclectic, electric, tall.
Very tall.
Gorgeous. silly, funny, goofy, kind, creative.
The most recent time I saw this performer perform, I can't remember whose show it was. It was at the Yard, but they were doing, I believe, a drunk bowling alley bartender.
Yeah, that was exactly it.
That tickled me pink. I will also say I was sitting in a row at the Yard Theater where like my feet couldn't touch the ground. That shouldn't be a thing.
Oh yeah, that was so funny. Because you're not short. You're not shorty.
No, I'm like, I'll say it, normal height. And my feet couldn't touch the ground. So I was like, it was actually funny because I was watching this performer. I'm giggling like a schoolgirl. My feet are like dangling off my chair, like kicking back and forth because they're not touching the ground.
You're like, I'm having so much fun. Okay, Hannah, I have never said your last name out loud to your face, so I'm going to try, and then you can tell me if I'm... Jacob, do you know 100% how to pronounce it?
Nope.
Okay, this is what I'm going to do. Hannah Pilkes.
No.
Hannah Pilkes.
Pilkes.
Pilkes?
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this Polish?
It's Dutch. Are you Dutch. Polish?
No.
I am.
Oh, no, I get okay. It's spelled P-I-L-K-E-S, which looks like Pikes or Pilks. It doesn't look like what it sounds like.
Hannah Pilkes.
Welcome to the pod.
Hi. Hong Kong.
Hong Kong pop-up.
Annie, do people get your name, your last name wrong?
Oh, I get don't bring up her email. Do not bring up her email.
Well, I wanted to talk about your email.
and we talked about my email last pod. I'm going to talk about it every episode. Yeah, no, people constantly tell me, Hannah, that I have spelled my last name wrong. They'll be like, oh, you forgot the E. And I'm like, I think I would. Part of me wants to just add an E to just get be done.
Do you ever think about like maybe Martin Scorsese reached out to me, but there was no, like he thought it was with an E and I haven't gotten the email?
Hannah, literally that's what I talked about last week, is that people, I have missed emails because people have spelled my name. Like I have, for shows, I've been like, oh, I never got that email. And they're like, oh, we sent it to this, and they like added an E.
I love that they've just decided that's a better version of your, they've up-leveled for you. They're like, no, I really think it should be this.
Yeah, and they're like, send.
And I know it's not an E, but I'm changing history.
I do when I like go to the dentist or if I have like a concert ticket, I just say my last name's Paradise to just make it go faster.
It is a hot last name. Paradise.
People do think it's a stage name or that it's like a bit.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, I don't love that.
Well, people called me Pickles a lot growing up. I'm like, damn it, should I have just been Hannah Pickles? Like, should that have been my stage name?
That would have been so good.
Everything would be different.
Would they call you Hannah Pickles or just Pickles?
Both. Pickles, Hannah Pickles. Sometimes singular Pickle.
Wait. Hannah Pickle.
Hannah, did you ever watch Real Housewives of New York?
I did, years ago. It's been a minute.
Are you familiar with Sonia Morgan's intern Pickles?
Yes.
What? I don't know this.
That could have been me.
Their name?
I mean, there's kind of, I think her real name is Naomi, and they never sort of explain why Sonia only refers to her as Pickles, but like she has like the lower third, like not title card, but you know what I mean? It says like Pickles.
It doesn't always, like, say her name.
That is amazing. Pickles. Okay, Hannah, so you are betrothed.
I'm betrothed, married. Yeah.
Are you going to do anything with his last name or are you staying you?
Growing up, you know how everyone's like dreams of getting married? You play MASH, like you play like Mansion, and then it's like, who are you going to end up with? Marriage was never like the thing that but like falling in love was. So even the act of getting married, I was like, whoa, I didn't know if I'd ever really, this was never like in the plan, but you know, my partner's so cool. But I was pretty clear always from even being a kid that I wanted to keep my last name that nobody can pronounce. Yeah. It was important to me that I kept a last name that confused people.
I don't know too many people hyphenating anymore.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah, are you forgetting Julia Louis-Dreyfus? This is Julia Louis-Dreyfus erasure.
Jesus.
I could not remember her name one time and I just called her Dreyfus. I was like, Dreyfus? I was like...
I know someone who interviewed to be her assistant and didn't get it.
Oh. I feel like I've had many friends go out for assistant jobs for celebrities and not get it. I don't know what that says about my friends, but
yeah. Annie, I want to say the story so bad.
I don't think you should.
Annie, tell me if any of this needs to be bleeped. I know someone who was formerly the assistant of someone who was in the biggest movie of the past year, and they did something really gross in that person's house and got fired and they were like, can you believe I got fired? And whenever I heard that, I was like, yeah, what you did was kind of bonkers.
What did they do in Margot Robbie's house?
I'm not going to confirm or deny that it was Margot Robbie's house, because that would whittle
Jacob,
down.
I love that you went, I'm not going to confirm or deny, but went like this.
I'm not going to confirm or deny whether or not it was Margot Robbie.
I think twice I slept at Robert Pattinson's house.
Oh.
Well, I remember this era for you.
What was that like? How was the thread count?
Because I was dating a guy who was, he was like, oh, I'm house sitting for my friend. And I was like, oh, okay. And then we went
there.
They
love
to
do that. They love to be like my friend.
You know? Yeah.
But literally I came in there and I said, huh, like this, there's a really weird fuzzy chair like in the middle of the, my brain's like, maybe I should tell the story in case we work together one day.
Wow.
You know, Robert Pattinson's
really
imagine
never telling any story ever.
I was actually just going to say, they're like, oh, it would be crazy if Robert Pattinson worked with someone in like the alt clown community. And then I'm like, wait, Kristen Stewart like actively used to go to moving arts. So like, maybe not that crazy.
God, and me and Robert Pattinson are doing a show at the Yard next week. So just sort of be aware.
and I'll be sitting there on the little chairs that Jacob sat on with my little feet.
Dangle, dangle, dangle.
It was always so crazy to be at Moving Arts, and like the stage was like, people would walk on stage mid-show because the door was right there. And
oh,
then,
wait,
like,
I know what you're talking about!
And then you would realize like, oh, Kristen Stewart's right there watching this like clown show with like three people in the audience.
I love that.
And it just being so close to the vortex of the Silver Lake Trader Joe's, like you're kind of getting wrapped up in that energy.
Annie, did I ever tell you my bad story?
I don't think so.
It was like when, and I'm not proud of that. I want to like get ahead of this, being like, this was something bad I did, and I'm not proud of this. But like,
I did a bad thing.
I think it was like my first week in LA, and I was like walking around Silver Lake, and I was like, do you know what? There's hope. There's joy. I'm turning a new leaf. Like the world is my oyster. And I had headphones in, and I was like listening to music, and there were just like all these flowers on the ground. And I was like, oh, they must be for sale. There must be like a local merchant selling these flowers.
Not a local merchant.
and so like I was picking them up off the ground and smelling them, because I was like, I'm going to get myself flowers. Like that's so, I'm going to get myself flowers, and I'm going to be the type of person who gets myself flowers. And then people are giving me the nastiest looks, and I was like, okay, so a man can't buy flowers in Los Angeles, California, of all places? I like have this moment where I realize I'm outside the Silver Lake Trader Joe's, and this is the memorial from the shooting, and I'm rifling through the flowers of the like from the shooting memorial, and that's why people are giving me dirty looks. I thought I was just like, it was a flower stand.
Oh my, that's so, and oh, you're like, I'm basically foraging.
Exactly.
That's like all the sunflowers, those beautiful sunflowers,
because they keep flowers outside of Trader Joe's.
Yeah. I also want to say, when you started the story and you were like, there's hope, there's joy, I thought those were people.
There's Grace, there's Frankie.
They're never without each other.
Okay, wait, Hannah. So on the pod, we like to talk about the mind, the body, and the soul. And I would be remiss to not talk about you drinking a blue Gatorade right now. I want to know, is this a frost? Is this which flavor?
It's
tell us?
It's a zero. And earlier, you guys were talking about Gatorade as I was drinking a Gatorade, and I went boingy boingy. I am drinking a zero. You know, zero sugar blue Gatorade. And every once in a while, I like to go to CVS late at night, and I like to get a really a cup of noodles, and I like to treat myself with trash every once in a while because I think L'Oreal, I'm worth that. I'm not doing that all the time. And the thing about me is this will last like a week because I just sit, I take like two sips of it and then I'll
leave. Was the zero sugar intentional or?
Yeah, because I think in my head I'm like, I'm doing better this way.
Yeah.
There's nothing like a Gatorade when you're thirsty.
It really quenches it. And when I was like in my 20s and drinking a lot, it was like that's, but now I just, I think I'm just like a chronic raisin. Like I never drink enough water and I'm always like, and I'm like, Gatorade.
I need an at-home IV.
Me, yes, me. I would honestly, I would spend a lot of money to get those like vitamin drips and just a hydration drip more often. I would spend a lot of money, but it's not, I don't have the money to spend presently. On that. So.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
We'll get there.
We got you. That's why you're here.
I didn't realize there was a cash prize. That's why you're here, girly, because you're poor and we're going to help you out.
There's a GoFundMe link at the end of this episode.
No, I'm okay. Hannah's really going so through good. It, you guys.
We just do a GoFundMe for every guest just to see who wants to give people money.
So insulting. It's like we kind of got your general vibe and it felt like you could use our help.
Also, I don't want to like actually cycle back to the Grace and Frankie conversation, but the other I had the realization that the title of the TV show Will and Grace, that was like a pun.
Oh, on like on that on the
ideas of qualities. Will and the idea of Grace. Yeah,
I love that.
I put that together the other day, and I was like, and that's why they're in show business.
Wait, that's amazing. But that's is right. So is Grace and Frankie one?
No.
Well, you know the idea. Well, because she's Frank. You know, she's so Frank.
And she's also a little E. She's Frank and she's a little E.
They're pitching it to Netflix. So they're like, imagine a woman who's just Frank, you know?
And they go, that's a little biting. How about Frank E?
Wait, this did make me think, Hannah, because you and I have... We like puppets and stuff.
I love puppets.
Did you watch, when you were a kid, did you watch Eureka's Castle?
No, I was more of a Fraggle Rock gal. Tell me about Eureka's Castle.
I could tell that about you.
Yeah, I think most kids.
I was
in a Fraggle Rock.
I was Fraggle Rock and Gullah Gullah Island.
Love Gullah Gullah.
Gullah Gullah Island.
Wait, why did you make it horny? Gullah Gullah
Island. Well, puppets are inherently sexual because in order for them to like be alive, there's an insertion.
That is true. It's Oh my God, you're giving life to them by waking them up, so to speak. I love that.
Exactly.
I'm making puppets for my birthday this weekend. You guys are welcome to come.
I know.
Whoa.
I want to come. It's right in the middle of this Buffon class.
Oh, that's right. And Jacob, you're at the Haunted Lake.
I'm in the deep rural Midwest, sort of in the river basin between where the Mississippi and the Ohio rivers meet. I'm in that delta.
We'll just hop in and literally hop in an Uber.
I love saying Delta. I love saying the Delta. Or the Bayou. Or the Bayou.
I love a good Bayou.
Jacob?
Yes. I'm here. I'm present.
Any body stuff for you that's been on your mind?
So since I've been down here, I mean, this is like kind of a global U.S. That's not what I meant to say at all. it's like a Midwestern problem. I have not eaten one whole food.
Fuck.
In weeks. Yeah. It is entirely... Yeah. And, like, my body, my mind, my soul, my spirit, like, feels that. I feel horrible. I'm doing nothing to change it. I just feel bad.
We're super creatures of habit. It's also proximity to that stuff. And I remember being in Edinburgh and, like, I was already feeling stressed about just, like, performing. And then I would just eat, like, haggis and like... sausage rolls every day, and it wasn't doing me any favors in terms of like making me happier or more whole, but it was like available,
right? And it's also like, I don't know, I would love to get your opinion on this and like your experience, Hannah. Like, Because, like, I'm sort of, like, I'm, like, not at home right now. So, like, I don't really have, like, a schedule or routine.
Yes.
And, like, without my schedule and routine, I can do that, you know, for, like, a weekend or, like, a little bit. But, like, whenever it's, like, an extended period of time without a routine, like, everything falls apart. So, like, whenever you were at Edinburgh, like, how did you, like, function? Or did you create your own, like, routine specifically for that?
Anywhere, because I've been touring even just the last like 2 weeks, I'm learning like, oh, no matter where I go, if I like being transient, I like being like away from, but I have to create a semblance of like, get my coffee, journal, like some things that are, and honestly, like every few days, like some form of green and, and like phone restriction, like, oh, I have to have these, this time away that's like, mindful. I like to walk, like long walks anywhere I go. That helps me eat better is I just go walk for a long time. And then I'm like, oh, I'm not craving shit as much. But I think the only way my mind can be sound is to be in movement is something which doesn't when you're talking about your reformer Pilates class, I'm really overwhelmed. And frankly, like that really scares me. It's too much for me. But I think even just a walk for me helps.
Yeah.
A walk and like a morning journal. Those are like my two constants that I think really help reset me.
Do morning journal every morning?
Sometimes it's afternoon. I'll try to journal every day at some point, even if it's and in different journals. It's not like I'm going to look back and be like May 15th. I'm super ADD and scattered, but I have a million notebooks for that reason because I can be really, I'm really sensitive. So I have to get it on paper sometimes so I don't spiral central. I just like get it all out and then I kind of like throw it away. Yeah.
I also feel like when you're traveling, while you guys were saying this, I was like, oh yeah, normally when I travel, I think the problem is I'm like, I need to map my at home life to what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, oh, what are, but then you're like, no, it's almost like you need to create a new routine that like, whereas like you said, Hannah, it's like three things that like you do instead of trying to, because I think the stress comes like, well, there's no way I'm going to fully replicate my at home life.
Yeah.
So then you get overwhelmed and you don't do any of it.
Yeah, I was like, just going to say, do you guys ever feel the guilt of like all or nothing? I mean, I know it's like how people 100%. Sign up for the gym in January and then everyone goes and then they fall off. And my thing lately has been like, you don't need to move for an hour every day, but just go. You know you're more depressed when you're sedentary, so just go do something. Because I used to be like, all right, Pilates 4 times a week, and that's just never going to be me, ever.
No, and it's fucking expensive. And it's I was telling Jacob, I just signed up for, like, ClassPass, and I'm like, okay, if I need to – because I like a class because I'm not good at – if I don't have someone telling me what to do, I'll, like, spend 2 hours doing shit. And
I like a class,
I just
too.
Need to be, like – but, like, it's like, oh, just checking the box of it sometimes instead of making it, like, my new personality.
Totally. Well, the same goes for, like, creativity and anything. Like, I've been learning a lot about my process. I don't do well sitting in front of a computer screen. I'll be hiking or getting a massage, and then I'm always getting massages. I don't know.
Okay. Or, like, TMZ. TMZ. Hannah's always getting massages.
Some celebrities are carbon footprint. Actually, that's not even a carbon image. I'm talking about, like, private jets. All my money goes to massages. All their money goes to jets. No, I my process is like out in the world or like driving, I'll come up with ideas and not judging that too, but being like, oh, that's just how I create. And I just have to be mindful of that and create environments where I can create from that. How many times create. But just
this is an entrepreneur podcast.
That all or nothing. Like, I'm going to sit at a cafe for 6 hours and write a pilot. Yeah. It's like, no, I'm going to do it in weird segments throughout the month. That's just who I am.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel I'm the same exact way. And then it's hard not to get, like, self-judgmental. Especially with people who are be like, oh, like, I went to, like, I, like, they have, like, really... almost like militaristic, like creative schedules. And it's like, that doesn't work for me. And because mine's so scattered and fragmented, it's hard to remind myself that like, I actually have been productive still.
Yes.
And I have like done something.
Yes.
Yeah. And so it's hard to like get the self-judgment way. Cause, and especially, like I'm the same way, like in the shower, I mean, or like right as I'm like going to bed, that's when like all my ideas,
of
that's
course,
my spirit moves through me. And then I'm like wet hands, like typing things.
Well, they say, what is that book? I'm woo woo in this way, but I read Big Magic and it's like the genius is like the concept of the genius, like a puppet entering you at a certain moment and then like running with that. And then it might fly away for a little bit because there's such a seasonality to all this. But Yeah, I know for myself. Like Greg and I just did a show together, husband Greg, and we like started talking about bits like 3 weeks in advance, and then suddenly the show is 4 days away, and I'm like, we haven't done any work. He's like, yes, we have. We've just done it in ways that you like. Like we've talked on hikes, we've done voice memos. Now we have to write it all out in one thing, but like we have been working. It just hasn't looked like you and I sitting in a cubicle. And I think sometimes my brain labels that as bad, you know?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost just, because I'm almost the opposite. Like, I need structure to go do it. Otherwise, I'll never do it. Like, I feel like I have friends that are like, oh, I love writing late into the night. And, like, I will never do that.
Yeah.
Like, that's TV time. That's time to watch my shows.
Sure.
And so then it's like, but then if I operate like that, then, like, I don't do it. Especially if I'm, like, nannying that day. I'm like, oh, well, then you actually didn't do any of it. So it's like, I have to do a thing where I'm like, I set a timer for 25 minutes and I'm like, that is when you're doing it.
Yeah.
And then whatever you do is good enough. And
I love
like,
that.
If it goes longer, hell yeah. But like, yeah, I'm not good at just going on a whim because then I actually will never do it.
Totally. I think there's a happy medium, right? Of like, yeah sometimes it's like, this is your allotted time. And I actually love what you just said about it not being about good or bad. It's just the act of doing it and just like putting something down or same thing with like good or bad with working out or whatever the case may be. It's like just the act of doing the thing is valuable and valid, you know?
Yeah. I feel like it's helpful for me having sort of like, you know, what you were saying, the more like fragmented, like creative approach, because then because I'm not like sitting down to be creative, I feel like my editor isn't there.
Yeah.
And I can just like, I don't judge the ideas I'm having. Whereas like whenever I sit down to try to write, I'm like, well, that idea is stupid or it's derivative or it's this. Totally. But like if I'm just, so that's why I like set aside my like sit down computer time. That's more of like cataloging all the stuff I put in my notes app
and being
like, okay, what from that works? What, how do I want to like attach? Oh, these two ideas are similar. You know, like how do I make them work together?
And you need the time for that because otherwise that's what I've learned as well. It sits in the notes app or it sits in my voice memo. It sits in the abstract forever.
Yeah.
So I call it like my analytical creative time where I'm like, I need this hour, like you said, just to go through all my bullshit, all the notebooks and be like, this is what you compiled this week. Cause I think both are valuable, but similarly, I just can't. When ideas hit, it's never convenient. It's never like, for you know, ever.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, like Hannah, we were like doing a show a couple weeks ago. We were talking about backstage where I was like, oh, I need to stop doing this thing that I was doing for a while where I was like, I have an idea and I'll figure it out when I get on stage. And I was like, what? Because it's like, there's elements that you can figure out. But then I talked about this last week. I went and saw a concert and I was like, it was like doom metal and it was sick. And I was like, I would be so pissed if they came out here and just figured it out.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, they like, you know, and I was like, I have to give the time that I haven't been giving.
Yeah.
You know?
And also I think everything within reason, because I think what's magical about like, and we all met doing clown class, which is so crazy and cool. And I have like photos of us in 2018 and we're like little babies. And Annie, you're still singing red.
I'm like,
some things never change. But
I love to sing.
But I'm like, I love a song. But I'm like, yes, I always want to, I'm touring with a jazz musician and he was like, oh, some of what comedy is like, you like to do comedy jazz where you need something written out, but you also want to surprise yourself in other ways. But if there's no plan going in, it's a little hard to feel the freedom to improvise and find the jazz magic. So I was like,
The jazz magic.
I loved that though.
Can you talk about who you're touring with?
Oh,
and like, are you performing with them? Or are you opening? Or
I've gone on tour with Paul F. Tompkins now with Variotopia a few times in Seattle and in Portland. And hopefully with that.
Are there other spots?
Yeah, it's around the country for the next like 7 or 8 months. And I've never done a tour before. So, but I've been really wrestling with, you know, you do tried and true material that feels good, but also it's such an amazing opportunity in these warm big houses to try new things. But how new is too new, and how, you know, how much can you figure out so that you have a framework and then you can surprise yourself in some ways, but you're not, like you said, Annie, like I did a Largo show recently and I was like, oop, that was not prepared enough. And that was not the forum to do a new bit. You know, it's like, this is Largo, girly. Like, they paid some money, and I'm like, Lilu, Lilu. You know? So I've learned.
Greg, this
I've
is my learned. Playground.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally, I'm like running through the audience. I'm like, okay, everything kind of like, there's a middle ground.
I always get so frustrated whenever I like doing a set somewhere and like, you know, something happens and I address it or I improvise something and like that's the biggest laugh of the set.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, how do I create like, how do I like do that on purpose? You know what I mean? Like, but it's like one of those things that you can't recreate because it's like the last show I did, the venue randomly had a Roomba like going throughout the room.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was like interacting with the Roomba.
That's incredible.
And it was such, it was like a gift from God. But it was also that was the funniest thing I did all night was interact with the Roomba, but I can't do that. Do I just bring a Roomba to every set I do for the rest of my life?
Jacob, you start planting an audience room, but you always go, what is this?
Wait a minute. That's also, though, speaking to what headspace you were, like, I know that I can't even do shit like that when I'm in a place of exploration, but I feel underprepared, so I'm not in a place of exploration. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If I feel too underprepared, I'm not going to find stuff. I'm going to be in fight or flight, and I'm going to go really fast, and it's going to go manic. Versus like where you were at, it's like, I'm going to do my tried and true stuff and I'm in a place of play and confidence. So I'm going to find other gifts. That's like,
and you'll always find it. Yeah.
Yes. I had a whole like therapy session on tour, like before my show where I was like, am I allowed to do material I've done before and then do some new stuff? She's like, yeah, that's what you should do. Like, okay. It's not an open mic in front of 800 people. Got it. Okay.
But like truly, like the music analogy helps me so much all the time. Where like when you go to a concert, you want to hear the songs you've already heard, and then you get excited they play 100%. A new song. But like I never go to a show being like, I hope they do stuff I've never heard.
Yeah, that's like, so true. I hope they're just sort of experimenting all night long. Yeah. I saw John Mayer do that at Hotel Cafe once, and let me tell you, I wasn't there to see music, and he just showed up and started doing a concert, and a lot of people were happy about it, and I was like, I wanted to have a drink with my old friend. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think he hooked up with Sheena?
Who's Sheena?
From Vanderpump Rules.
I've never seen Vanderpump Rules, which is crazy.
I think that's good for you. I started watching this season and I regret it. So why? I think stay on your path. Stay on your path.
This podcast has become a platform for Jacob, who has only watched one season, to talk about how it's not a good show. Every episode, he finds a way to say that.
Wait, but what do you guys think about Tom Sandoval?
He reminds me of my dad. He reminds me of my dad.
Oh, I want to meet your dad then.
Oh, no. His name's Tom, too.
Oh, brother. Wow. Are you sure your dad's not Tom Sandoval?
Listen.
Talk about Annie, a scandal.
I've never met your dad, but I do. I don't know if you saw this viral TikTok, but it was about the girl. The whole thing is like, oh, what's your trauma? But it's funny. And her dad left, like, abandoned the family to become a late in life break dancer.
Wait, I know that girl. Oh, yeah, she does stand up.
Really?
Yeah, like Maddie or something, I think is her name. Yeah.
I don't know, but yeah, I saw that. To me, that's your family dynamic in my head.
I don't know if that's fair to say. No, I mean, he's still around, but yeah, he went and joined a motorcycle gang my senior year of high school. So, like, he got invited to join a group.
My dad bought a motorcycle and never rode it.
Oh, wait, yeah, my dad just, like, sits in the garage.
I actually don't even know if he still has it. I should do a check-in.
Jacob, I would love for you to start riding motorcycles. That'd be fun
to
see.
No, Jacob, you got to be careful. There was a guy in my acting class years ago, and it was like a will they, won't they. And he took me out on his motorcycle through LA. And it was like the closest. I felt like I brushed elbows with, like, I was like, oh, I'm dangerous. But, I think the only thing cool about him was the motorcycle, to be honest.
Yeah.
They are fun to ride. They're fun to ride, but I would never own one.
I'm too scared.
No.
It's not worth it.
Especially in Los Angeles.
I know more people that have gotten in accidents on a motorcycle than, like, ride it in a safe way. It's
no,
like,
even driving in LA crazy. Is a gamble.
100%.
My Lyft driver was fully watching that Sydney Sweeney movie on his
anyone
phone
but you?
While driving me home from the airport.
It was so bad. That movie was so
I was like,
bad.
On so many levels, I'm like, that's the choice, and also you're driving me home from Burbank Airport.
I want to go on record and say, loved the film.
Did you?
I loved the film.
You don't mind that Sydney Sweeney's like, yeah, like, hey.
When she tries to blow dry her pants, I've never seen a more uncomfortable scene in a movie.
To me, well, okay, here's the thing. I knew going into it that it was, a Shakespeare adaptation. I'm completely blanking on what. Much Ado, yes. Yeah. And so, like, I was like, oh, this is, I almost was watching it as like a parody of rom-coms and a parody of Shakespeare. And so because I think if I was viewing it as like an original text, I would maybe have like a harsher critical lens. But I was like, oh, it's like the joke is that like, it's almost a joke that they're even doing that, if that makes sense.
No, like, that makes sense.
But then you look at She's the Man and you're like, that's a good movie. Like, this is, like, I was, like, the acting wasn't very good. Like, the lines were clunky. I was, like, it felt like AI wrote it.
Well, that's why I sort of feel like the lines, like, whenever they felt like, I think I would know what examples of clunkiness you're talking about. Because I was, like, oh, that's, like, it, to me, it was, like, oh, that's the joke that, like, Shakespeare can be, like, clunky like that. Also, I hate Shakespeare, but I love the film. What does that say?
Well, I feel like with rom-com energy, I just want there to be some chemistry. And I don't know that I bought theirs. What's interesting is I think individually they are both so hot.
Beautiful.
Sexy. And yet together, I just wasn't buying. I couldn't, you know what? My litmus test is always, can I picture them having sex? I couldn't.
Well, what was the age gap there? I think that was maybe part of it.
It was like 12
or 15 45 years,
right?
Yeah, it was like kind of a 88? Big age gap that made me feel a little.
88 years.
I just heard that in Call Me By Your Name in the book, they're supposed to be like 18 to 24, like 18-year-old and 24, and that is not what it was. And that changed the whole.
A scene from Call Me By Your Name that I think about a lot is in the book, there's a scene where, and I think I'm remembering this correctly, where like one of them is like, hey, I want to watch you take a shit because that'll make me feel closer to you. And so they watch each other poop. And it's like supposed to be this like really big romantic intimate scene where they're watching each other shit.
I wonder why that didn't make it in the film.
And it just reminded me of a really triggering time where I was dating someone in college and I'm brushing my teeth and he walks in, throws his pants down, shits, doesn't wipe or wash his hands. And I'm like, you have to at least wipe. And he's like, I'm going to shower later.
No.
Yeah.
He sounds straight. Was he straight, Jacob?
No, every guy I date has horrible hygiene.
Ew, and that does not cancel like, oh, it out.
No, you're going to shower later. Hello. At least shower immediately.
Right. Ew. Oh my God, that's
I've
so vile.
I've never seen Call Me By Your Name. I've never seen nor read it.
Sufjan's.
It's kind of travel porn.
See without my. Yeah, it's horny and it made me laugh. It didn't make me laugh.
I was laughing the whole time.
It was a classic. Quite a slapstick. the shitty thing is.
There was a Jim Carrey-esque energy.
Have you seen Liar Liar? Basically identical films. I wonder, it's one of those things where I can't unhear all the Armie Hammer shit, so it is really hard for me to now. I don't know that you could watch
maybe
it. With
I
like,
don't think I would.
No, it would, no. Everything, it's very like, they're hungry for each other, and I'm like, well, it's a little too on the nose now, don't you think?
I do love the book. I think the book is beautiful.
Okay.
Okay, maybe I'll read the book after I finish my fairy porn.
Can I ask, speaking of like pooping, you know, if you're the love of your life was like, I want you to pee on me, or I want you to watch me poop, is that something that you would do because you love them?
I would pee on someone, but I don't think I would want them to watch me poop.
Okay.
I would be laughing the whole time I peed on Sean. I would be laughing me too. So hard that so much pee would probably come out and it would get everywhere.
Yeah. And I think it'd be hard not to judge a little bit, you know, and to be like, where is this coming from?
We have one bathroom in like a almost basically like a studio. Like I'm already here and seeing this guy's shit. Like it's
You're 1 degree away from it being physically on you.
Yeah, like that Sex and the City episode. Oh, and I'm doing a Sex and the City. I'm doing the rewatch. I just started again.
You have to.
It feels so good.
Where are you at?
Feels so good.
I just did it recently. Where are you at?
I just watched the episode where she forces Big to come to a wedding with her, and she's like. The way she forces him to, like, make him care about her, and she's like, sign the card. He's like, I don't really want to. I don't know that.
Oh, is it the one where she reads the poem and he takes the phone call during it?
Yeah, yeah. And, like, I honestly, she's the worst part of the show. I agree. Enjoy it so much more.
Well, you know, it's so interesting. Being a kid, I was like, this is so, like, some weird mononormative, like, some cis shit. I was like, Miranda, boring, short hair, lawyer. Like,
Miranda!
And now I'm like, oh, Miranda's my favorite rewatch. Like, I'm like, Miranda's, like, powerful, really? Knows what she wants. I honestly wish she'd been queer in the, not with Che. Well, you know, I'm like.
Yeah. But then we couldn't have had Che.
That's true.
I think the funniest thing I've ever done is my Instagram bio is TV writer for, what's Che's sitcom?
You put Che Pasta.
TV writer Che Pasta.
Oh my God, I wish. Oh my God, you guys, did you watch him just like that?
Yeah.
Of course.
You know the episode where Miranda goes to watch their set?
And
first of all, they're just being cruel. It's like an AA meeting share. There's like, it's not comedy, but it's so crazy to me that there's all these writers in the room and there's not, and no comedy, no comedy be found in these sets.
Who's writing for the show? Like, do we know, like we know people who are TV writers. Who's writing this show? Okay. We can like this. Allie,
someone has IMDb Pro. Does one of the IMDb Pro on here?
Hannah's about to reveal something.
Oh.
No, you know what? I don't think you can listen. I think that even the person that I know that has written on it is in agreement that the Che arc was tricky and dicey, and definitely there was room for improvement there. And it, you know, I think there's nothing that drives me more crazy than shows that like shoehorn in, like, look, we're good, we're current,
yeah.
It doesn't make a good case for like my boomer in-laws that like. Or like, I don't understand how people just become lesbians because it's like, they do that on Grey's Anatomy, like out of nowhere. They'll just be like, you know, and it's like, that's actually not how it goes, you know?
Speaking of Grey's Anatomy and speaking of And Just Like That, have you guys ever seen the TV show Chicago Fire?
No.
No, is it good?
Steve from Sex and the City is one of the main firefighters. And I was watching
it. Does he still have that gorgeous accent? It's his accent.
Oh. I was like watching it with my family and my mom was like, does he really sound like that? I was like, yeah. That's his real voice.
Miranda.
Except he's yelling about like fire victims. Fire. Like with that voice.
Wait, you know what I'm watching for the first, because it's just made me think of Fire Sale. I'm watching Arrested Development for the first time ever.
Really?
And the episode where he goes, there's a fire sale.
Fire sale.
And they go, do you want to read? Do you want to do that? Do you want to do a slightly more subdued read? And he goes, no.
That makes me want to light myself on fire.
Yeah, man, I love the idea of going into an audition and them going, do you want to make an adjustment? And me going, I do not. Thank you. The power. Amazing. Yeah. Oh, I'm realizing I've sort of been swinging my mic around like a dick. I've really just, I think
it sounded fine to me.
Is it? Okay, good.
I think it sounds perfect.
Okay, great. Great. I've been all woo-woo-doo-doo.
You sort of mentioned like believing in woo-woo stuff.
Sure.
I'd love to get more into that. Like what does that mean for you?
I mean, I think it means, well, listen, I now medicinally do mushrooms like a couple times a year and I did it the other week and it feels
like psilocybin or like functional mushrooms like lion's mane.
Psilocybin. Like I'll like set my intentions, trip, like bring paints, bring my Mary Oliver. Mary Oliver makes me feel really close to spirituality. And for me, like, that's just helped with my wellness. I think just setting clear intentions, not per se manifesting, but like breathing goals and like life into my goals and just like allowing myself to give voice to the things I want, that feels, and then I read the books around that stuff. And I think repetition, like I'll listen to Big Magic twice a year because a friend whenever I get really cynical on my art. I'm also reading a book right now that's like Make How You Feel. So it's like, I've been going through really hard stuff with family and a sad pocket. And it was like, great, create from sadness. Like maybe it's the sad clown right now. Maybe your work is more heavy. So that I feel very like my woo-woo stuff comes from trying to be as intuitive as possible and not denying wherever I'm at and trying to feel through that and like still give to myself and in my work and all that. Yeah.
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 You're actually giving space. You're giving space to what's actually going on.
Really, really trying to. And like, I freaking love therapy. I love, like, I just got a medication for the first time in years. I don't know. I'm on Lamictal now, which is like a mood stabilizer that helps with depression. Because I was like, you know what? I put my freaking hands up. They always say that in Love Island. I put my hands up. Like, I surrender. I put my hands up. Whenever they're like, you're a dick, he's like, fine, I'll put my hands up. And then
I
put my hands up. My mom and dad are really proud of me after he like said the most sexist shit to the girl. I'll put my hands up. But no, I think honestly, like a surrender. And that's what I like with the mushroom stuff. I'm like, I surrender to like, I like being in the natural world when I do it. I like being in nature. I like reconnecting to the why I'm alive and constant gratitude. And I don't really believe in the bullshit, make a gratitude list every day. If that works for you, that does. But again, I'm trying not to deny wherever I'm at because sometimes it's dark and I'm like, write from that. You know, that's, I'll journal just angry shit, you know? Yeah, that's been, yeah. Does that answer that?
That was a perfect answer.
Yeah.
Jacob, have you done shrooms?
I have. I'm like a little scared of it. So I've never done like a full dose. So it's always been like kind of like a little micro situation. So I've never like fully like tripped and I'm a little afraid to.
Yeah.
But I celebrate it.
I also am like to each their own 100%. I'm such an external and sensitive like Greg and I did it recently and I think he's someone that maybe things aren't quite as external. So it was helpful for him. It like illuminates and in whether you like it or not, everything that you've like avoided or everything just kind of presents itself and you talk through stuff. The funniest part of the trip was I was like, I want to invite all my family to, I was like, family's important to me and I want to invite them to my birthday. And I'm weeping and and I was like, we can make puppets. And then I go, and we could maybe do the party from like 11 to 2 or like noon to 4 and I like for like 10 minutes I'm like or 1 to 5 like I was so moved by having a puppet birthday that the times were like moving me.
You get really into the admin of it.
Do you okay Jacob, both of you, Jacob, if you were going to a birthday and you knew you weren't going to know anybody, would you go?
I think it depends on my relationship with the host.
Sure.
Because I've definitely gone to birthday parties where I like knew the host really well. And actually, but sometimes that if I know the host really well, then I'm like, I don't feel bad bouncing because I know I'm going to see them. Like we're going to get dinner this week.
Totally.
Sometimes it's almost a thing of like, if they're like kind of a newer friend, then I'm like, what would me not going say? You know what I mean? Whereas if I like miss a good friend's birthday, it's like we know each other well enough that it doesn't mean anything that I'm not showing up, you know?
Right. I totally agree.
And it's also the who and it's the where. Because if it's like at a bar or something, and I don't know anyone going, I'm like, I feel fine. I'll show up and then I can leave whenever. But if it's like a house party and I don't know anyone, I'm like, then I'm going to have to like talk to somebody immediately.
Yeah.
So you have to do that math. But
do you guys like being alone in general? Like, do you like spending time alone? Or are you like,
solitude is major for me.
Really? Okay.
I'm working on it.
Same.
Everyone accuses me of being an extrovert. And I'm like,
accuses you?
Literally, I know someone who's like, their whole thing is like the Enneagram or Myers-Briggs stuff. And they're like, well, you're clearly this. And I'm like, and they like describe what they think about me. And I'm like, I've never related to anything less than that description of what you just said.
It's Libra, though. I think that's because your Libra
you're,
energy,
and you're
it?
So charismatic. You have a very, when you are in social settings, you're lovely and like personable and you're like, you know, you're going to have life at the party energy, but that doesn't mean you need to be around the party all the time.
I think the way I describe it is that it's like, so like, you know, they say like, is your battery charged from being around people or is your battery charged from being alone? And I'm like, my battery's charged from being alone, but that doesn't mean I'm not very obnoxious. And like, I think I could be obnoxious, but an introvert. And I think maybe that like being annoying and loud and like, I'll say gay, like people confuse that with being an extrovert. You know?
I was going to say it, but then you said it.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
I'm working so hard. I think the pandemic helped me with that. Cause I feel like I used to just like stack especially living alone. And when I was single too, it's just totally. Like, well, I have to make plans. Otherwise I'm staring at the wall. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, getting a dog really helped me. So I guess I'm still not alone.
Cause it's still a companion. I don't think that counts. Yeah. I think if it's just you and Pearl, you're still spending time alone.
I am trying to have more hobbies alone, though, with myself. Like, you saying, because, like, I know I'll never do mushrooms because I'm an addict. So I can kind of make a lot of sense. I can find a way. But yeah. I am like, oh, I'm trying to look for things I can do with myself that are, like, yeah, like a fun thing that I do with just me and not, like, like mosaics. I think I'm going to start doing mosaics.
Ooh, I love that.
My friend is in a stone carving class. She like does a job that she doesn't really like, and she is has found this calling in like visual arts and in especially like working with her hands, like pottery like and Mount stone Rushmore carving.
Stone carving.
She's like making little like figurines in out of like stone. Like it starts off as like a block. It's really cool. And volleyball. That's been my fine because I'm similar. I really I being love that alone. For you. I was like, oh, I
do want to join you, Hannah, for volleyball.
I realized I'm going to like try to sub sometimes, so we should do that together. But
okay, let me know.
That was like the first thing I'd ever done on my, even though I'm with people when I'm doing it, they're like outside of what we do and it's outside of, but yeah, I'm similar. Alone time is.
I'm like, let me come. I'm like, let me come. You're like, I'm doing
we'll
it alone.
We'll be alone together. No, okay. I feel you. I also think I like to go for walks for that reason. I don't love alone time, but I constantly see people that way, but I'm still technically alone. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. It's our final portion. This is the part, Hannah, where we set boundaries. So,
which I think ties into the whole like
this
being
made me
alone
laugh a lot in the email.
So, you can set a boundary with us right now. If there's something we did that you really don't want us to ever do again, you can set a boundary with us. You can set a boundary with yourself, or you can set a boundary with the institutions that be. So, Jacob, what's your boundary?
I think I would have set a boundary with my therapist.
Ooh.
We like
chills. I got chills.
We had a conversation.
Show us.
Yes. Yesterday. Where she was basically saying like, I'm trying to like live life of being like, okay, like right now I'm sort of surrounded by darkness. And like, that's just my lot in life right now. But like, I have to face the light. Like I can't choose the fact that I'm in darkness right now, but I can choose whether or not I face more darkness or I face light. And like, I just have to choose. I have to choose light. Otherwise, what am I going to do? Kill myself? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she was kind of like, oh, but sometimes it's more realistic to be like, maybe those like hopes and goals you have will never happen. You know, like, and maybe we need to sit in that. And I'm like, are you trying to convince me to kill myself right now?
Yeah. Like, no.
Did you say anything in the moment or you're like dealing with it now?
Well, I kind of like rebutted a little bit and it was just kind of. Yeah. And she did kind of like backtrack a little bit after I rebutted, but I was just kind of like, I didn't love it. And I was just kind of like, okay, yeah, glass half full or glass half empty. Like I can choose. It's the same amount of water. It's just how you're choosing to see it. You know what I mean? And it's right now, given everything that's sort of like I'm facing, like I literally have to choose to face the light and I have to choose to see it like glass half full. Otherwise, like what's even the point of life? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I love that.
I think that's it's nice to, it's like, it sucks that she pushed you to that point, but then you're like, you know now what you need and then you're going to have to.
And I also think there's something that this is like too long for what we want this segment to be, but I'm like, for like artists, like sometimes I'm like, I want like a therapist maybe specifically for artists, but then I also don't want that therapist to be a shadow artist, no offense. What I mean?
We were talking about that earlier. My therapist used to pursue acting and then she does it now, but she's like, but here's the thing. Like she doesn't ever, it's actually so amazing. Cause I talked to her about
it. She's not bitter about it.
What I'm talking to. No, not at all. She was just like, this felt more of a calling and I have some, like, I feel more. And so like, I can complain to her about stuff and she like knows exactly. And she'll like ask me people's names. She'll be like, what's the manager's name? Like, she's like, and I'm like,
you find out that she's like, absolutely still trying to get in the business and is contacting.
Yeah, she's like, well, they signed me.
Just going to give this to you.
My boundary is being late. Someone once told me this and they were like, if you are always late, you are essentially like creating chaos that there doesn't, like you are creating drama for yourself. And like, it's gotten really bad to the point where like, I'm doing my makeup while I'm driving. Like, it's,
I do
like,
that too.
I'm like addicted to being chaotic and grabbing my shit and dropping stuff. And I'm like, I have to figure this out. I have to, like, my time. I was also having a dog. I feel like I had her during the pandemic, and so I didn't have to do like an hour walk, or like, I would do an hour walk every day, but I didn't have to go anywhere else.
Yeah.
And so it's like my brain hasn't caught up with my current life.
I get that.
And also moving out to Pasadena, where I'm like, okay, now my traffic has doubled. So my brain's just like, I need to like look at my life as we are all talking about what's actually happening.
Yeah.
And then act accordingly.
I love that. And I'm gonna also take that.
That's yours too. You can have it.
Well, I'm gonna pocket that one and then add one more. I'm gonna set a boundary with technology. In the pandemic, out of an act of self-love, got a work phone, a second phone for boundary setting that was going to have email, social media, you know, TikTok, all the bullshit. And then my other phone was just going to be texts and calls and like photos.
Yeah.
So what's happened now is
here we go.
I have two phones at all times that I'm just checking in either hand.
No. Oh, no.
And so what's happened is it's actually like 80% worse than before. And so the boundary I want to set is to leave the fucking work phone at home and honor those boundaries, which is like, when you go on that walk, what about if you – I caution against no phone in general, like as just city. But I'm like, you can airplane that shit in your pocket. And I just don't want to bring two phones everywhere anymore. I want to reconnect with why I did this.
you have like a holster with
literally
both
I've
of
got
them
this
in it, like,
and I've got this and they're right here. And they're just right here. Yeah.
Wow.
And I don't
have
a
beautiful
corporate
devices.
Yeah, but I don't have a corporate job. Like, I'm not like some social media bitch. I literally don't get, I'm not on salary. This is just because of me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no like, yeah.
We honor, we celebrate, we uplift that boundary and both of your phones.
Thank you. I've really been utilizing the do not disturb or like, which I never used to do. But now I'm like, can I do it all day? And also, red light.
Okay, I've heard, it's so bad. It's
that makes
so
me
bad.
Sick. That's so...
Do you have red light all day? What is that, the movie Carrie?
No. Red light goes on at 9:30.
Why is it on 9:30? Right now then, Annie?
Because I did it to show you guys. This is my shortcuts.
Oh, okay. Can you give me that in shortcuts? Can you do that for me when I see you next? Okay.
Yeah, I'll text you. I'll show you.
See, I do the thing of like, I see something like that and I'm like, something in my brain, I'm like, I'm going to be on my phone even harder now.
Whoa.
You know what
rebel.
I mean?
Yeah.
It's the same way I delete Instagram every day. It's the same thing. I'm not going to, once I delete Instagram, if I go back to re-download it, I go, this is going to take too much time.
Yeah.
So with the red light, I go, I know I could easily turn red light off, but seeing it reminds me to say, you don't want to be on this. It's creepy.
I do.
Yeah.
It is creepy. And you know what's creepy? For a while I was bringing a book instead of a phone to like the audition or the waiting room or wherever. Mm-hmm. And then eventually you exhaust yourself so much that you do read the book. Like what's crazy is that I'll bring the book and still be like, I'll still like read every sign on the wall and like look at everyone's shoes before I read the fucking book. But
that's so funny.
But the red light, I get the rebel thing of like, but I'm never like when I, you know, that there's no worse feeling than checking Instagram, leaving and going right back to it.
Right back on.
Go right
you
on
feel
back.
Like a fucking animal. You feel like a rat. Yeah. You feel like a rat. You feel like a rat.
You feel like a pizza cheese. Rat. Yeah. You feel like a rat in an energy drink. What is it? What is the drink?
Areola? What's it called?
Alani Nu. And by the way, I am open to corporate sponsorships with Alani Nu. I drink their beverages daily.
It sounds like a sorority.
And I don't care about the rat. Like, I also love
actually,
how quick you were to defend them.
In it.
I love how quick
it
you were to
protein?
Be like.
Well, if there's
you
a
were
rat.
Like, well, maybe. You were like, maybe there's a rat, but I don't believe a goddamn thing on the internet. They're perfect. I'm like, what are you,
glass.
Their PR? Just to make sure there's no rat sediment. Oh, my God.
This has been fun. Hannah, do you have anything to plug?
I mean, I think just that tour. I'm coming to a city near you. And May 16th at Elysian, I'm doing a show again with Greg. We're doing like a monthly or bi-monthly now, which would be fun.
Oh, hell yeah.
In LA.
And with tickets and stuff.
Yeah,
for that
all
be
on the Elysian
Instagram.
Theater website. Yeah, it's called Bombshells. And it's just going to be a proper fun variety show.
Oh, yeah.
I put my hands up.
Jacob, do you have a plug?
Just like my monthly show at Eli T Bar in Chicago. Woo! And then I guess May 2nd, I'll be at the Lincoln Lodge.
Nice.
Ankles?
Oh, I'll be doing a show May 9th at junior high.
Woo!
So yeah, I'm opening for like a poetry book reading. So I'm excited.
Wait, Jacob, I want to watch you perform in Chicago too. So when I'm there, I hope it lines up.
I hope so too. I want to come to the show. That sounds amazing.
We'll chat.
Have a proper chat.
Proper chat.
Yeah, proper fit.
Well, thanks for joining us. This was fun.
This was so fun.
Dr. Diva is hosted by Annie Parody and me, Jacob Crow. It is edited and produced by Ali Kiltz. Music is by Austin Schauer, and Billy Buck did our show art.